You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily NFL fantasy podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. I've got my Start Sit column up, The Decider, there that you can check out for week number 10, as well as my week 10 NFL picks against the spread. And we're up to matchup Wednesday, so we get to do a deep dive here on Locked On Fantasy Football, looking at all the games of week number 10. We'll do it as usual as a double shot for you, matchup Wednesday, matchup Thursday. We'll take the first half of the games, starting with Thursday Night Football. And we have a very split set of games this week, so equal number there of 1 p.m. and 4 p.m. games. So we'll talk about the late games all the way through Sunday night and Monday Night Football tomorrow, but we have plenty of games to break down for you, take a deep dive here. The early set on matchup Wednesday. We'll get into that fun in a moment. But first, I got to tell you, this episode of Locked On Fantasy Football is brought to you by Pepsi. Thanks to a lack of natural athleticism or commitment or overbearing sports parents, fewer than 1% of people ever play professional football. But instead of entering the NFL, they've joined another league, the League of Football Watchers. This football season will be different, and Pepsi's here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you watch. Now, I'm watching all the games. I'm at home. I need to have my cold beverage here. Pepsi is what I go to. And Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through any game day. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi. All right, let's dive in, shall we? We do have Thursday night football this week. It's the Colts and the Titans. And let's look at how this game breaks down from the Vegas perspective first. We have 48.5, 49 is the over-under. The Titans are slight home favorites here, 2 points. So we're expecting a pretty tight game. The Titans defense played a lot better last week. Desmond King made an immediate impact in the secondary. They're getting a little healthier back there. The Colts, we know, are pretty tough defensively. They did have a lot of success, except they let Lamar Jackson run a little too much last week. Gave up a defensive touchdown as well from Phillip Rivers. So not expecting a lot of points and not a dazzling game here. I do like the Titans to win this game, barely. It's basically a toss-up for me this week, I'll say that. This is one of those battles of attrition. It's not going to be very pretty. I'm not sure I want to attach myself to too much in this game. I think Derrick Henry, you're going to play no matter what. A.J. Brown, it's a tougher matchup for both of those guys. A.J. Brown cut through a tough matchup to be productive last week against the Bears, so that's a good sign here. He's just that talented of a receiver. Now, the Colts are very good up front. They're very good against the traditional running game. So I think Derrick Henry is going to be okay, but it'll be a little touchdown dependent. I don't expect a big yardage day from him, but I think he'll get in the end zone. Gus Edwards did score against the Colts last week. So I'm looking at 60 to 70 yards rushing from Henry with a score here. Looking at A.J. Brown, he could be a little limited, but I'm looking at least 80 yards receiving here as a go-to guy. I don't think Corey Davis is going to do much, and Brown is just too good to sit. So I'm not extending beyond that. I'm not looking at Ryan Tannehill, not interested in Davis, not interested too much in Jonu Smith in this game either. The Colts are very good against the tight end. So Henry, temporary expectations. I think he drops down to RB2 this week. You have A.J. Brown, probably still a solid wide receiver two for you this week at worst. So those are the guys you trust there. You could look at the Titans defense just because of the primetime emotional bump factor. Another mistake-prone quarterback in Phillip Rivers. The Colts, again, had that Rivers play turn into a touchdown for the Ravens, and the Titans also scored a defensive touchdown against Nick Foles and the Bears. So it lines up well in that regard, and the primetime, always you get better performance from a defense. So Titans defense slightly improving there. Now with the Colts, I think you can play Jonathan Taylor. I'm not going anywhere else on this team for sure. I mean, the wide receiver situation, now T.Y. Hilton may return from the groin injury. Do I want Zach Pascal or Michael Pittman or Marcus Johnson? I don't think so. Tight end, Jack Doyle might miss the game with a concussion, but do I trust Mo Alie-Cox or Trey Burton and know which one exactly I want to play, even though the Titans are a decent matchup against the tight end? So tough thing to navigate there, that's for sure. So again, Taylor, I'm starting. I'm sticking with him. I don't want a piece of Jordan Wilkins. I think Taylor's still the guy. He has best chance to score a touchdown. Titans, again, more vulnerable against the run for sure. And tight ends than the pass, but again, not trusting tight ends. So Taylor, Henry, and Brown, really the only places I'm going with in this particular game. The next game on the schedule is the Bengals traveling to the Steelers. Bengals coming off a bye. Steelers coming off the escape there in Dallas. The Steelers are 7.5 favorites, point favorites. They're around 8. I've seen the line go up to 10, but the over-under is pretty small in this game, 47.5. So yeah, the Bengals, Joe Burrow, I can't go there this week. The Steelers defense, you know, they've given up some big plays on the back end, but not feeling it this week. I think they're going to be challenged by Mike Tomlin, and that defense is going to play a little bit better at home here this week. So don't like Joe Burrow. I don't like the outside receivers as much. I think Tyler Boyd, you play. It is tough against Minkah Fitzpatrick there from safety, and their slot coverage on Mike Hilton has been hurt there for the Steelers. So I like Boyd maybe doing something. That's where they want to work. I don't think you really can go on the outside. AJ Green, T. Higgins, more field stretchers here. I don't see that the case for the Bengals holding up against the Steelers pass rush much. It's going to be a one-dimensional thing, so I think the Steelers can kind of tee off. So it could be a rough go for Joe Mixon, presumably in his first game back here, taking the backfield back, coming off the bye with Gio Bernard having filled in for two games here. So again, I'm looking at Mixon. You're playing him for the volume, potential touchdown if someone scores. He has a good bet to do that here in this game. So really, it's just Mixon and Boyd I'm going with, because Boyd just gets consistent targets, where I can't trust that with Green and Higgins, even with Steven Nelson and Joe Hayden not playing all that great on the outside here for the Steelers. I think up front can take care of business from getting the ball outside deep for Joe Burrow this week. So yeah, Mixon, Boyd on that side. On the Steelers side of things, I look at the three receivers. It's tough to know who's going to come through every week. Last week, you did have Chase Claypool, Deontay Johnson, and Juju Smith-Schuster have good games of varying degrees here. I think this is more of a Claypool game, I think, because the Bengals struggle against a tight end. So that means Claypool is kind of like the extra tight end with Eric Ebron, and they work the middle of the field at times here. Claypool can go inside, outside, but their size as well can give the Bengals difficulty. So I like Eric Ebron. I like what Claypool can keep doing here. Good value there. We'll get into that on lineup Friday that you can look at in DFS this week. Juju, good rebound game against the Cowboys. I don't think the Bengals are in good position to cover him either. So the secondary is rather weak for sure for Cincinnati overall. So I think there's potential for all three receivers. I think because they're all competing with each other, and James Washington and Ebron, you always have to treat all the Steelers wide receivers as a wide receiver two, with the touchdowns being a little bit sporadic there on who gets them, but the volume is going to be there. I think the Bengals, again, have been a little bit better against the run. Steelers will be contained there, but I think they'll have to open it up and try to get a big lead here to help James Conner kind of finish the game in the second half. So Conner, Ebron, Juju Smith-Schuster, Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool, Ben Roethlisberger, all worthy starts at home in this game. I think the Steelers are going to take care of business big here, giving opportunity for a whole bunch of guys to be productive and score this week. Just watch the diagnosis with Ben Roethlisberger. He was on the COVID-19 list. See if he plays. If it's Mason Rudolph, then obviously you're not going there. And a downgrade for some of these receivers as well if they have a quarterback change here in week number 10. All right, so there you have a look at the first two games of the schedule, Thursday Night Football, and the first of the 1 p.m. Eastern Time games. We still have five more to talk about on this show, seven more on tomorrow's show. Before we do that, I need to tell you about Taser. Protecting my family is my number one priority, but I want to do it safely. The people at Taser believe that safer self-defense is better self-defense. Taser's line of non-lethal self-protection devices are small and lightweight enough to carry with you or in your glove compartment or purse, yet they're powerful enough to incapacitate an attacker. Guns carry unnecessary risks for you and those around you, and even pepper spray can harm you as much as an attacker, and it's often ineffective. Taser products are safer and easy to use. They use electrical charge to mobilize attackers for up to 30 seconds, allowing you time to escape and send emergency dispatch to your GPS location. Taser devices come loaded with features like laser-assisted targeting and emergency dispatch, which will send response team to your GPS location upon firing. More than 237,000 lives have been saved with the Taser network of devices, apps, and personnel. Protect yourself and your family with Taser's line of smart self-defense products. Taser is available without a permit in most U.S. states. Get the Taser Pulse Plus or Taser Strike Light at Taser.com with the promo code NFL. Save 15% now at Taser.com with the promo code NFL. That's spelled Taser, T-A-S-E-R, Taser.com, promo code NFL. Restrictions apply. See site for details. We'll be right back here to continue with our look at the next few games of week number 10. All right, let's pick up here where we left off in the 1 p.m. Eastern Time window. We're going to turn to the Washington football team at the Detroit Lions. The Lions are slight favorites in this one, 3.5 to 4 points. The over-under, as you might expect, is pretty low here, 45.5. Alex Smith is going to be in the lineup for Washington football team again. He didn't look all that good in the second half, threw two interceptions. They had a chance to beat the Giants, didn't happen there. So Smith should be a little bit better this week. I think you can definitely look at the Washington football team leaning a lot on the running backs this week. That means Antonio Gibson, for sure. He's a RB1 to me. That's how good this matchup is against the Lions. And J.D. McKissic has good PPR value as a RB2 even or flex this week. So they use McKissic a lot on the pass routes. He's the dump-off guy quite a bit. Again, the Lions struggle against backs, whether it's running or receiving. So that's good news for Gibson. Can bump up to RB1, and McKissic definitely playable in deeper leagues that reward pass catching here. Now, elsewhere, you look at Terry McLaurin. He's locked into your lineup every week. I think you can avoid everything else. Logan Thomas, the Saints, or the Lions are very good against the tight end this week. So I don't go there with Logan Thomas. So again, the two backs and McLaurin, that's the only area I'm going. I'm not trying to stream Alex Smith this week. I just don't trust him on the road against the Lions, a defense that can be better than you expect in some certain spots. And I think this is it. They're a little bit desperate coming at home. Matt Patricia's team, they're better against the pass than against running backs here. So I think it's going to be a little tough for Alex Smith to get anything done. I do like the Lions to win this game. DeAndre Swift, I like his potential to have a nice game here. You can't really throw in Washington. We'll see about Matthew Stafford. He had the head injury evaluation last week. We assume he's going to play and be cleared to go here like he was with the COVID-19 list last week. But let's watch that. But I'm assuming Kenny Golladay will have to miss another game. I can't really go with Marvin Jones here because the Washington football team is very good in coverage. We saw them shut down Darius Slayton and Sterling Shepard last week. So not feeling it there, but they did have trouble with TJ or with Evan Ingram, which tells you they're going to have trouble with TJ Hawkinson this week. So I love Hawkinson being a key target in the pass game as well as DeAndre Swift. I think those are going to be the key guys, whoever it is, whether it's Matthew Stafford or Chase Daniel. I think that's where the game is mainly going to be played. I think you can see Danny Amendola in deeper PPR leagues. He was highly involved last week in the game plan without Kenny Golladay. So I don't see a lot of deep balls, so not very good for Quintez Cephas or Marvin Hall in this game. Not going there, especially with Jones maybe bottled up. And I think just not having Golladay is going to hurt Jones in this one because I think the coverage is going to flock to him. And he did score a touchdown last week, but not as big as we thought. They're in a great matchup for Jones against the Vikings. This is a much tougher matchup this week. So Hawkinson and Swift are the lines I feel the best about. Not going with the quarterback, whoever it is, Stafford or Daniel. Fading Jones this week. And I could play both defenses in this game. There are some mistake-prone quarterbacks for sure. Alex Smith had the multiple picks last week. Stafford has had some bad games. And we know Daniel can turn over the ball as well. So defenses that you can look to for some sneaky sources of production this week in your fantasy seasonal leagues. The next game we'll break down for you is the Texans and the Browns. This one is a 53.5 over-under at the best, maybe 54. The Browns are slight favorites in the game. I actually like the Texans to go in and win. Partly it's because the quarterback situation, Baker Mayfield's been on the COVID-19 list. He's cleared to go here this week. But Deshaun Watson is on fire right now. Since they got rid of Bill O'Brien, Deshaun Watson is an element. Will Fuller and Brandon Cooks, I think they're both potential wide receiver ones this week. That's how bad the Browns secondary is. Also, look for Duke Johnson Jr. being in a key role this week. We've been waiting. Maybe something was going to happen to David Johnson with his durability. It turns out to be a concussion. So there's a very good chance David misses the game. How convenient for Duke to go up against the Browns. Remember, he was very unhappy there and got the move out of there when they picked up Kareem Hunt. He thought he was going to be a big factor with Nick Chubb. Instead, they chose to have Hunt as that pass-catching complement. So he'll be ready and revved up to have a good game, and he should get extremely high volume when David's not in the mix. So that also makes it great, because David has always been hampered by Duke Johnson's presence in the backfield. But if there's none of that, I think Duke is going to see a pretty major role here. So I love Fuller and Cooks, Watson attached to them, all good DFS considerations this week. I do like Duke in a decent revenge game spot here for the Texans. Not going anywhere else. The tight end is a more of a committee, not trusting the defense either as well in a high-scoring game for the Texans. Now, for the Browns, I actually like Jarvis Landry and Rashard Higgins as well as Austin Hooper quite a bit. Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, I think you can definitely play them. Chubb expected to return this week, so we'll watch that. They might hold him out one more week. We'll watch that carefully. But Chubb and Hunt are in your lineup. Hunt obviously drops away from RB1 down to RB2 in a PPR type of flex play if Chubb returns, so that hurts. The Texans' run defense is terrible, so this is great for Chubb to come back if he can and be an RB1 in a smash spot. So I expect the Browns to try to run as much as possible here to win the game, but I think the Texans also will be aggressive and throw the ball quite a bit so they can build a lead and force Baker Mayfield to throw. So, and I'm not doubting that the Texans can have a lot of success pushing the ball here and getting aggressive in the passing game. I think they'll do that so they can control the action a little bit more here, and that's why I like the Texans. It's going to be dependent on what happens early in the game, but I just trust Watson a little bit more than Mayfield here this week. Again, Higgins and Landry, Texans are pretty good at one cornerback spot with Bradley Roby, but they're struggling in other spots. Higgins, you have a Mayfield's total trust here. A good connection there. Jarvis Landry working the slot. Austin Hooper, the Texans cannot cover the tight end either. They're having issues at linebacker and safety. So, yeah, the principal pass catchers there, the running back. So this is one of those start him if you got him for the most part, except for the Texans tight end and the defense. In this game, Mayfield, again, deep streamer. I would maybe think about him in DFS for a little bargain play this week in a potential sneaky shootout of the week. The next game I'll break down for you is the Jaguars and Packers. And the Jaguars and Packers, this could be a lopsided game. The Packers are 13.5 to 14-point favorites here. The over-under is only 52, so we're expecting a lot of Packers points, maybe not a lot of Jaguars points. But let's look at it. Jake Luton, you can't go there this week. You got a tough matchup. I don't think he's going to duplicate his 300 yards. They're pretty good against the pass on one side, so DJ Chark is going to be contained. Jair Alexander is battling a concussion, but he's had the extra time since playing on Thursday night in week 9 to be effective here in coverage. So it could be tough sledding here for Chark. He's the only target to getting anything done. Laviska Shenault tweaked his hamstring again, so you might be down to Keelan Cole and Chris Conley. They're not going to be afraid of those guys as much. They'll take their chances here and try to contain what Chark does with Alexander. So Chark is still playable. There's a good connection between him and Luton. Certainly downfield, very much like we saw with Minshew and Chark. So just by volume alone and some garbage time, I think Chark is worth it when they'll back up in their zone defense. Early, I think you'll see Alexander put the clamps on, but later in the game as they open things up, I think you'll see Chark produce there. So he's still good enough to play this week because of the garbage potential here with Luton. James Robinson, I think you still go with and feel confident about. The game script could get away, and they're throwing the ball less to him, which hurts. But I think early in the game, they're definitely going to feed Robinson quite a bit. And remember, they were down to the Texans, and they kept feeding him. He had 25 carries in that game for 99 yards and a score. So he's going to get his volume no matter what. They're not going to go away from that element because it really works. And the Packers defense has shown little resistance to running backs, whether they are running or catching the ball this season. We saw the big game they gave up a couple weeks ago to Dalvin Cook. You had also the 49ers, even with their limited offense, were able to have some success with McKinnon and Hasty. So keep that in mind. So James Robinson, again, the talent is what's carrying James Robinson. I think people are just discounting the talent versus game flow and system and all that. He's just a very talented back, as we see, gets the most out of every yard. And the one thing, the Jaguars are pretty good run blocking as well, so that also helps. So James Robinson, he's going to have some tough matchups. He might cool down here in the second half at some point, hit a rookie wall. We haven't seen that yet, and I don't think it's going to come quite yet in this game. As early, he gets the production early here in this game. Chark gets the production late. I'm not going anywhere else with the Jaguars offense. Now, elsewhere, I look at the Packers at home here. It's all the principals, Aaron Rodgers, Aaron Jones. Jones should be healthier this week, fully from the calf, getting 10 days to rest here. So he's good to go here this week. So love what you'll get from Jones and Rodgers. Devontae Adams, another smash spot. He's just rolling here. The matchups just keep getting better and better for him. He's had the Texans and Vikings and 49ers, and this team can't cover him on the outside either. So a lot of Adams. We'll see if that opens up Marquez Valdes-Scantling for a big play. He could have Alan Lazard return. I also like Robert Tonyan. The Jaguars cannot cover the tight end, so he should make some more big plays here and be more involved. So I would say maybe Tonyan has the shot to be the second guy to produce after Adams over MBS a little bit more. And I'm not trusting that Lazard is going to come back this week for the Packers, and I don't want to play him in his first game back either. So, yeah, so Aaron Rodgers, QB1, high-end Aaron Jones, high-end RB1, Devontae Adams, high-end wide receiver 1, and Robert Tonyan in a back-end tight end 1 this week for the Packers. And you certainly can look at the Packers defense. This is Luton's first road start, so he's a rookie, could make some mistakes here. Again, could force the ball with Alexander on one side. So eventually the Packers will be able to tee off, get some sacks, and maybe some turnovers from Luton in the game in the second half. So there you have it now, a breakdown of three more games. We still have two more to talk about in that 1 p.m. Eastern time window before we close the show. But first, I got to tell you about Built Bar. Built Bar is simply the best tasting protein bar ever. And the improved Built Bar is even deliciouser with six new flavors, including caramel brownie, cookies and cream, Jerry Barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. With Built Bar, you're getting a bar that's covered in 100% chocolate. All the Built Bars are soft and easy to chew. They're also great for you, the health-conscious guy or gal. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Bars you get from Built Bar are all low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber. Great for anyone on a keto diet. Just take the flavor profile of their Cherry Barcia. 17 grams protein, 130 calories, only 4 grams sugar, only 4 grams net carbs. So get beat Built Bar. It's simply the best protein bar out there that you're going to have. And tastes like a dessert, so that's a bonus. And those flavors are excellent. Once you get your first box from Built Bar, like I did, you'll be keep going back. And it's easier to do that now with going to BuiltBar.com. You can use the promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get 20% off your next order. Use the promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. We'll be right back here to close the show, looking at two more games, closing out the 1 p.m. Eastern time window of week number 10. Let's close the show here looking at the final two games from the 1 p.m. Eastern time window. Why is this the case? The Masters are being played, so all the early games are on Fox as a programming note. So back-end schedule with the 405 games of the 425. So pretty even, so you can watch the fantasy football points being scored distributed evenly here, so not anything packed into one window or the other. Eagles-Giants is a game that's at 1. This game was on Thursday night a few weeks ago. The Eagles are slight road favorites here, 3.5. It's a 44.5 over-under. I like the Eagles to win this game. I think they're going to be a lot healthier coming off the bye, be very effective. I don't like Carson Wentz, however, that much in this one. I look at Travis Fulgham. You're going to still play him. He's going to get enough targets here. Don't look at Alshon Jeffrey. It's not suddenly going to pivot to Jeffrey the way Fulgham is playing. Jalen Reagor you can look at, but I figure there's going to be some turnovers that come with Carson Wentz's performance here, so keep that in mind that it's going to be a little bit of a rough outing. I don't see him doing a lot of running damage, so I think he has about a 250-2 outing here, which is okay. That's not spectacular, but I think it's not going to be pristine here. There's going to be some mistakes that creep in there with Carson Wentz that happens quite a bit with his Eagles offense. The running game, Miles Sanders is also back, so that could contain what Wentz does in the passing game. So I really like Sanders. They had a nice game from Boston Scott, but Sanders can do a lot more here. He's had some time to heal, rest up. They've kept him out for a while with a knee injury. So if he returns here, good game for him. If it's not him, then Boston Scott. So whoever's running for the Eagles is in there. Dallas Goedert is in there. now fully healthy at tight end. He's their only option with Zach Ertz on the shelf that is of note here. So Goddard and Rieger in deeper leagues there, I think he's deeper standard leagues. He's big play and touchdown dependent, the rookie there from TCU. Fulgham is more of a wide receiver three to me because of potential seeing some of James Bradbury this week. And Goddard could be more involved. So limited ceiling here for overall for the Eagles passing game, but I think the principles will come through okay. I just don't like Wentz to have a big game, and I think that puts him right outside the top 12 for me this week. More of a QB2 and how I look at it with Wentz in week number 10. So again, Fulgham has to be in your lineup every week at this point. Sanders, you feel good about. Rieger is a bit of a stretch. And Goddard, again, the way tight end is going at this point, you just have to go there. I also like the Eagles' defense on the road. I think they're going to come out swinging, play pretty well here. They're going to be healthy up front, get after Daniel Jones, and force some turnovers in this matchup. Both defenses actually were very productive in the previous game. So if you need the Giants as well, it's not bad. They're at home. They did get after Washington quite a bit with their pass rush. And pass rush is doing the job, making some takeaways as well. So Joe Judge and Patrick Graham have this defense playing pretty well to make some plays. So keep that in mind. Now the Giants, not trusting Daniel Jones. I don't really like Darius Slayton. He's kind of fading away. Doesn't matter that Darius Slayton's on the other side. Slayton has just not done much. It's pretty much been the safe throws to Sterling Shepard and Evan Engram. So Shepard is low upside PPR play only here as a potential wide receiver through a flex. Evan Engram, however, stands out as a tight end one here for me this week. Eagles cannot cover the tight end with their linebackers and safety. So fade the Giants wide receivers, put in Engram after a nice game against Washington last week. Who will run the ball? It doesn't really matter. They seem to get the job done with a touchdown. So let's watch Devonta Freeman here, but I would expect it's more Wayne Gallman. And Gallman can always pop into the end zone. He did have some surprising rushing success against the Eagles in the first one. So it's not a massive game from Gallman, but at this point, if you can get 50 yards and a touchdown, which seems to be in the neighborhood for Gallman, even in a tough spot, you'll take that for sure. He does definitely get the ball near the goal line for this team rather consistently, and they seem to be in the red zone quite a bit here. So I don't expect a lot of scoring opportunities, but Gallman certainly possible. You could do a lot worse during this tough bye week here at running back 2/flex in a reasonable 12 to 14 team leagues there. So no Jones, no Slayton, no Shepard, certainly Engram, Gallman if you need him, and the defense if you need them as well here for the Giants. Finally, we'll look at the last game here. This is the Bucks and Panthers. The Panthers are 4.5-point underdogs at home. So the Bucks coming off that blowout loss, a really bad game against the Saints. We thought they were going to do a lot more fantasy football-wise, and defensively didn't happen. The Panthers probably going to be without Christian McCaffrey right after they got him back. He had the monster game against the Chiefs, but hurt his shoulder injury late. So let's look at the Bucks side of things first. I think it's a rebound for everyone in the Bucks: Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Antonio Brown. Tom Brady does not have two bad games in a row. That was a historically bad game for Tom Brady. So I think everything's going to work out. Partly is because they'll get the running game going again. It was hardly a factor. They just gave up on the run, didn't protect Brady that much, but you have to run on Carolina to keep things open. They might also sell out to stop the run, knowing how bad they are up front. That could also open things up. So I do like Leonard Fournette to play closer. He had a big game last time against the Panthers that really marked his arrival in Tampa. So I think he gets the job done here. I think they fade Ronald Jones a little bit, use Fournette more in the passing game. So I like all the passing principles here for the Bucs: Tom Brady, Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, Antonio Brown, Rob Gronkowski, and a little bit of Fournette as well. So I think this could be a smash spot all around for the Panthers, and keep in mind, or for the Bucs, and keep in mind the Panthers really could not stop anything on the Chiefs when they decided to open things up and play off the running game, which the Panthers were able to stop, but they got exploited elsewhere all over the field at the cost of that. And I also like the Bucs defense to rebound there. They had a nice game last time against the Panthers, the only team that kind of really effectively shut down the Panthers with their blitzing. Teddy Bridgewater struggles against the blitz. We know that, and that's why the matchup is good for the Bucs. So basically, start him if you got him for the Bucs. For the Panthers, DJ Moore, hopefully a rebound. He did have a nice game against the Buccaneers last time. You have Curtis Samuel He's a guy that keeps getting it done here, and he's getting enough touches. And with McCaffrey out, they'll use him a little bit more as a runner and a receiver. So he definitely has viability. I think Robbie Anderson could see a little bit of a tougher matchup here if he gets Carlton Davis on the outside. But definitely Sean Murphy Bunting, a little bit more vulnerable than Davis. And Jermell Dean has had his issues as well. So that helps Samuel more than Anderson in this game. I still think they're all three are viable. I think I dropped down all three to wide receiver three status because of Samuel's presence here and Anderson cooling off, tough matchup. So Anderson, Moore, and Samuel, all viable wide receiver threes in 12 teams or leagues and above this week. In the backfield, if McCaffrey's out and you got Mike Davis, you got to play him. I just don't like Mike Davis this week. I think the Bucs defense is going to come out flying, stop the run, make this one-dimensional. I know there are some receptions to be had for Davis, but Samuel is hurting that as well if he gets involved and gets the touches near the goal line. So I think Samuel's emergence is different for Davis this time around, filling in for McCaffrey. That makes sense here. So I do think you have to plug and play Davis, but I don't think he's going to go super sub this week. I think he's a guy that maybe racks up 70 yards from scrimmage. I don't like his chances for a touchdown. So PPR, still, Davis has a little bit more appeal than standard to me in week number 10. And certainly you're not going with the Panthers D in this one. Don't go chase what the Saints did. They're not the same type of defense, and the Bucs are going to rebound big time offensively on the road. And the high over-under this one, 15.5, so you expect some good scoring in the end from both sides. Panthers may be more so in garbage time after the Bucs rack things up here in this matchup. So there you go. There's a look at seven of the games of week number 10, starting with Thursday Night Football. We finished the entire 1 p.m. Eastern Time schedule. We'll get through the 4:05 and 4:25 games later. And that's on tomorrow's show. We actually have five of those plus two primetime games to break down for you in matchup Thursday action. So thanks so much for listening to Locked On Fantasy Football. This has been Vinny Iyer. Tell your smart speaker now to play the most recent episode of Locked On NFL. Have a great day. See you tomorrow.